clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Here it comes. Oh my goodness.
Hello and welcome to the Golf Practice Podcast. We're back, a room full of coaches and teachers and mentors, Chris Oler, King Jansen Mizrek, Peter Donahue. Guys, welcome. It's been a while since we've been together in the same room.
It's great to be here again, Andy. Thank you.
I have to dust off my golden microphone. It's been a while since I've been on the pod.
Good to be here with everyone.
Today is our annual Donahue Cup podcast, the second annual podcast covering the greatest event at our academy, in my opinion, the Donahue Cup. Pete, can you give us a little summary? What is this? Where did it come from? Why is it here? Et cetera, et cetera.
Well, Chris was responsible for the name.
You didn't name it after yourself.
Chris is responsible for the name. We used to call it the Fall Cup, and we hold it right after the high school state finals. It's really the high school state finals for a lot of us is the end of the cycle. There's a lot of people in this our part of the country that put down their clubs for a few weeks anyway, and some for months after about this time of year. And so this was an event that's close to my heart because my dad and his friends always loved to play golf at this time of year. And whenever, whoever and how many ever would show up at the golf course, they would go out and play a gangsome and play a great, you know, skins game, and it was so much fun. And so I've always associated this time of year with fun in golf, and my dad would say this cold weather and rain and stuff separates the wheat from the chaff, so you really know who the real players are. And that's what we find. The players that come to this tournament are really our core students, our core players, in terms of their enthusiasm, you know, for playing and learning the game.
When we send out the email for the Donahue Cup, it speaks of like mentorship and values of the golf practice. Chris, what do you see? It's like, why do you like this event?
The reason I enjoy it so much is, you know, kids come to our academy and they're in different classes, you know, ranging from introductory classes to the game, introduction to competition, high school prep, varsity prep, college prep. And so these kids come to our academy for their specific class, and the Donahue Cup brings all of these kids together. And so you get young people who are 5th, 6th, 7th grade who will be going to their high school to try out for their team, and they get to be paired up with you know, someone that's on the state team from, you know, their particular high school that they'll be going to. And so they get to spend time with them. They get to know them. And I'm sure the older kids help these younger kids feel comfortable, you know, talk them through what tryouts may be like. And so that mentorship, you know, spending a couple hours with these people has got to be just fantastic for the younger kids. And I think it's really cool for the older kids to look back and say, yeah, I was once in that position. You know, it's great that I'm able to sort of help this young person along.
Jansen, this is your, what Donahue Cup was this for you?
This was my third Donahue Cup. I think the first one, I think I was an intern during the first one at Highland Park, and it was an overcast day and like 37 degrees. It was freezing. Yeah. But it was a good time. I remember I think we had chili from Potbelly's delivered, so that was nice after the end of the round. And then we did it at Lake Bluff last year, and that was actually decent weather, still chilly. But that, I think the competition at that one was really, really good. There were some low scores. And then obviously this year, I had to get moved inside, but a fun skills challenge of what we ended up being able to do in the cube and still with a very strong field.
What are your overall impressions of the day?
The day. I love the team, like, you know, kind of bouncing off what Chris was saying, the team aspect of seeing, you know, team, you know, for example, team Lake Forest, but having, you know, somebody that's going to middle school there, somebody that's maybe a freshman or sophomore on the high school team or JV team, and somebody that's on the varsity. I think that seeing the kids travel around with all of their Lake Forest swag or their Evanston gear on, is really cool. It's almost like they're following Mama Goose around, you know? And so seeing them get competitive, even though that they're all at different stages in their development, is probably the coolest thing, to see that, see them rally behind that. So,
yeah. So maybe I'll read through, the teams and who was on each team, and then we'll kind of get into how the day went, who the champion was, etc. From Highland Park, we had two teams. The first team had Allie Schwenk, Griffin Kelly, Liam Kelly, and Kaylin Patel. The other Highland Park team was Daniel Levinson, Cooper Milstein, Jack Jensen, and Emmy Schwenk. The team from Lake Forest had Jackson Gusty, Elizabeth Lyon, Sam Rogers, and Adrian Mazur. Team from Evanston had Kieran Mavros, Pasha Zabadne, Jamie Young, and Drew Patterson. A combo team of Winnetka and Will Met had Amy Beanblossom, Jonathan Wiggins, Evelyn Cox, Macy Schultz. The Vernon Hills Lincolnshire team had Lexi Schulman, Tony Babbo. Well, not Tony Babbo. He RSVP'd, didn't show up. I still give you a shout out, Tony. Jessica Valente and Chloe Lee. Northbrook in Chicago had Mark Pachinski, Issa Kuahara, Logan Dubansky, Martha Kuahara. And that, I think Aiden Landis was on the Will Met team as well. We didn't. He was a late add. Wow. Yes, we have everyone from Chicago to Lake Forest. It's quite a spread.
Yeah, entire North Shore.
Yeah, it's great to see.
Yeah, the first place team was the Vernon Hills Lincolnshire team of Lexi, Jess, and Chloe Lee. Second was Evanston of Kieran Mavros, Pasha, Drew, and Jamie. And third was the Lake Forest team of Jackson, Elizabeth, Sam, and Adrian. Guys, is this the who you expected to have won the event? Maybe, Jansen, give us a little... What was the event? How do you have an indoor golf tournament?
Sure. So we're used to hosting large groups in the Cube, and we've done a couple outside outings and, you know, putting people through structured practices and skill stations and games. But we wanted this to have a tournament feel, obviously, because it is an end-of-the-year tournament. So each station in the Cube had a different... score or challenge that you would go through. Maybe it was a small course that you would go through for a score that your team would post. So for example, in the Pebble flat putting area, we had an 18-hole putting course. You had 30 putts for your team to use to see how far you could advance playing alternate shot throughout that course. So that was pretty cool. Pebble chipping, we had an up and down course with some you know, pre-designated spots, taking the best score out of that. Actually, that was combined with the team, I think it was. Yeah. So that was cool. You know, everybody's playing a vital role in that station, trying to get up and down for their team. In Augusta, the simulator, we used the new launch monitor, the GC2, to have kind of a bullseye challenge with different distances. Augusta putt, we had, you know, that's probably one of my favorite stations to host competitions on, because anything can happen on that fast, crazy green. We had a putting course set up there as well for different scoring. And then on the range, we used all those boxes and squares for the blackout challenge. And Pete, I'm not sure exactly how that one ran, but it was just to see how far you could kind of snake through all those boxes.
They each team had 30 balls, and they hit in rotation, one player after the other. And the object was to see if your team could black out or hit each of the 15 squares. And then the tiebreaker, if you did do that, was how many balls did it take you?
That's very cool.
To fill them in. And so that was very cool.
So that was very similar as well to the pebble putt, you know, 30 shots, how far can you make it? So that's always fun when, you know, those last couple balls coming down the stretch, you know, how far every shot counts. And then in the Bat Cave, we played on the simulator back there. Coach Todd was back there, and we played a couple of par threes on the par three simulator. And we did that one for Total Score back there, again, playing alternate shots. So alternate shot was kind of a theme of the day to make sure that everybody was contributing to the team and that everybody was communicating as a team through the challenges, which was very cool.
It was very interesting, you know, because in my station, which was, you know, in the driving range with the blackout of the 15 squares, some teams came in and really, you know, let's say had a strategy. You know, the leader would say, you know, which row do you want to take? And other teams did it, you know, in a completely different way. But what was fun about it was what we'd set it up to be, and that was that there was an upperclassman, you know, as a leader, captain, whatever you would want to say, and then how they would go about, you know, organizing their people, whether it was by consensus or whether it was by, you know, dictatorial, you know, was there. And it was all, and then they all got along great. And you could see, I remember Jackson Gusty for the Lake Forest team. I mean, he was a very valuable member of that team in hitting some difficult squares up there on the board. And I would imagine he felt pretty good about that.
I think he had the low individual score in chipping. Did you guys see that?
Oh, Jackson did?
Man. I don't know how it's...
Jackson's it's like congrats. The silent assassin. You know?
He's one of the youngest ones
a good
there.
Little player.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So Vernon Hills, Lincolnshire, finished first. Second was Evanston, and third was Lake Forest, which I think we said. Guys, anything surprising as you were watching the event unfold? Any shots or moments or anything you saw?
Well, I think that I just think that as I saw Evanston, I was in their first station, and they came in second was just amazing to me, because they finished last in my station, so they got off to an inauspicious start, but obviously they left undaunted, and it doesn't surprise me when you've got Drew Patterson and Kieran Mavros and Pasha and Jamie. I mean, these are very strong, enthusiastic people.
Yeah. Well, I have to rebound off that. Same thing in my station for the Evanston team. I think they had two, three putts through the first five holes of that putting course and then somehow finished tied for second at my station. I was like, what? How did you make it this far? So, very cool to see the mental fortitude to get through that, you know, a rocky start.
They came in here with those sweet bags, and I just thought that right from the get-go, there was a statement. They just plopped those bags down. Everyone had their Evanston bag, and I'm really proud that they showed up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great, great event. It was pretty exciting. The other part of kind of the tournament is afterwards we have an awards ceremony where we give out different awards for different categories to different people. So we'll kind of... We've already done this kind of in person, but for those of you who weren't there or just want to hear again, we'll go through them and say a little bit about each student who won the award.
Do you want me to go? Sure. So the first award that we give out is called the Golf Practice Award, or the TGP Award. And this is a really unique award. It's for somebody that shows great studentship throughout the year. They're a pleasure to be around. They show improvement in their game. And really, it's just like an all-encompassing award of just being a great sport. And so it's always hard to kind of pick out some of the winners of this, because we have so many great kids in the academy. But there's definitely a few that that stand out. And so the first winner of this, we gave out four of these awards. The first one was Matthew Trapani. Matthew came to us a little bit over a year ago from another academy. He'd kind of been bouncing around and trying to find his golf home, but had been playing for a while, and it has a beautiful swing. He's always hit the ball really, really solid, but wants to play on his high school team and kind of has aspirations to play even more. And he probably put more practice hours in than anybody else last winter. He was always in here. And it was what caught my eye was like the enjoyment that he got from his practice. You know, he would set up his cell phone on the Augusta Green over here and record himself making putts on that green, you know, from the very front, like the, I think the kids call it the devil putt, where you got to go like over the two hills to the back corner. You know, he would like make that putt every time he stepped in here into the cube, and like he wouldn't stop until he made it, which is really cool. And he's just got like one of the best smiles in the academy. Like that's what always stands out to me about Matthew, is just his happy-go-lucky attitude, and he's always got something positive to say, and he's always the first one to say hello when he walks through the building. So you know, Matthew, shout out to you, my man. Thanks for being you. That's awesome. Chris, do you want to talk about Sam?
Yeah, Sam Rogers, a member of our M360 program, a senior at Lake Forest High School. Actually, Sam was the captain of the Lake Forest team, and they're actually the state champions. They came back in round two from 10 shots out and pulled off an 8-stroke victory. So in very impressive fashion. But Sam's definitely a leader of the M360 program. You know, he certainly goes about his business. He's very serious when he's practiced. He's very focused. He's a great guy to be around. You know, he certainly lights up the room when he comes in. You know, he's like a TV personality to me, Sam Rogers, right? I mean, you know, you just notice yourself starting to talk like the kid. Yeah. And that's kind of scary, that but that's just the way, you know, he just rubs off on you. So so Sam Rogers was certainly you know, way up there when we thought about the TGP award winner.
All right, one of our other award winners was Emmy Schwenk. She has been with us for a long time. She just finished up her junior year playing for the Highland Park Giants on the varsity team. She was actually elected the captain of that team this year, which was a very cool honor. I know that's something that she, you know, she was wanting to be, you know, to be a leader and step up on that team. So she got that opportunity this year, which was cool to see her take on that task. She came to us. I remember sitting down with her last winter for a game planning session to, you know, prep for the off season and get a sense of what she wanted to accomplish. And I think she's the perfect definition of somebody that is very goal oriented. And once she sets a goal, she's going to do everything in her will to achieve that goal. And that's exactly what she did. She sat down and said, "Hey, I want to play in the sectional tournament this year, whether that's with my team or as an individual. And I'd like to also just, you know, shoot my personal best score this year too." So, and she did that. She shot 74 twice. One was in a practice round, 4 sectionals, and one was I think it was a practice round as well at Sunset, which I think was for conference. I don't know, Emmy, you'd have to correct me if I'm wrong there. But to shoot 74 twice was fantastic. Before that, she had shot 78 to previously beat her score. So some low rounds, that territory she hasn't been around before, which was awesome. And then she ended up being able to qualify for the sectional tournament. So a very cool way to end the season to accomplish your goal. And then she had a fabulous back nine in that sectional tournament. But aside of that, you know, she works for us part-time with the Junior Essentials class. She's just great to be around, an awesome personality. You know, that's why we enjoy having her, one, work for us, and be around as much as she is as a student. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, as we talked the other day, to me, you know, golf is a very fun game for kids, but it's a more fun game as you get older, because you know that you, as you become more mature, you see more things in the game and the opportunities for you to create yourself become more obvious. You know, in the beginning, you're just playing and you're led by the fun of the game and the next challenge or whatever. But when you get farther along and you start setting goals and making plans to achieve those goals, you start to appreciate the multifaceted nature of the game, that there's a lot of things that you could do, you could work on in order to get better. You know, the way you organize yourself strategically, the way you prepare yourself for tournaments, the way you react to adversity, the way you keep yourself going. You know, and to me, it's what you get out of it. What can you say that you got out of that experience? And what can you make of yourself? And all of the people that we honored for the TGP award are all people that you want to have on your team. I mean, they're not just golfers and competitors. They're really good students, and they're people who are deliberately creating themselves. And Drew Patterson, who was the fourth recipient of the award, is absolutely that. Drew is an athletic girl that took up golf the same time we arrived in Evanston, when her father, Todd, came to me and said, "Hey, I'd love to coach. I'd love to help you in any way that I could. And my daughter here would like to learn how to play golf." And Drew did. And I think this, all through her high school season, she made an enormously positive impact on the Evanston Township High School team, which when we started was really just a few kids and not very enthusiastic. And and she attracted kids with her enthusiasm and her personality. And they've got a 20 kids on the girls on the varsity and the junior varsity, and it's, they're a presence. And they did pretty well. They qualified two girls for sectionals, and Drew, made the playoff and lost in the playoff. But for her to at that particular time in the season, she had been in a slump, and we all know very well how devastating it can be for these kids who have these goals that are defined really by whatever they do when they're a senior, to get down to the end of her season and really not have her game. And she had worked so diligently, during the summer and the fall, getting up every morning at before school, 6 a.m. and before work, and getting out and putting her work in. She had every reason to think that she deserved success based on the effort she was putting forward, but because of the vagaries of the game, she found herself in a very difficult place, and she managed to play a really solid round of golf in regionals, which I thought was, if she had not been patient, if she had not persevered, if she had not stayed positive, all the way to the end, that just never would have happened. And Drew is, along with Alex Perlman and Emmy, they're our best employees. They're the people that you really want to have on your team. Drew, went from being just a little girl hanging around to, she's one of those thoughtful, aware people that when she comes on the property, she sees what needs doing, and she does it. And so, Drew didn't have the trophy career that a lot of these kids did, but what she got out of golf and what she continues to get out of it is a lot.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, she was my number one draft pick for travel camp employee this summer, and probably much to your chagrin, Pete, and she made my job a lot easier and yours like a bit harder.
And that is true.
Not sure how I won that one, but I don't know. Not complaining. Definitely not. Who do we got next? The most improved player awards?
Yeah, the most improved player. This is another great great award to be able to recognize some distinguished players and recognize just some straight up hard work and grit, to just see scores trend in the right direction, see ball flights change, see tournament scores drop, see students go into new territories that they haven't been before because they're playing at a different level. So very, very cool. So the first winner of this is one of my students. He's in fifth grade. His name is Andrew O'Neill, and I have a hard time explaining Andrew. He is the man. He's he hits the ball a ton. Like, that's the first thing I think about with Andrew, is that he learned how to hit it really hard and really far before he learned how to make it go the direction he wanted to. And now it's been a process of being able to control his golf ball with all of the speed and power and strength that he has. And now he's really starting to become unstoppable around this place and in the tournaments he's playing. I actually sat down with him last night for his game planning session and got to present him his plaque, and he was through the roof with the recognition that he was able to receive. He plays basketball as well, and so being kind of a multi-sport athlete, to be able to thrive in both of those environments, I think is really cool, and still improve as much as he is with his game. But a couple highlights from his season: he played 18 holes. It was one of, I'd say one of more of his more first 18 hole rounds this summer early on at Sunset, and shot his personal best score ever. He shot an 80 at Sunset, and if you've played Sunset, you know how challenging that golf course can be, especially around the greens. So for a fifth grader to do that, really impressive. And then in our travel league matches, he played in every single match that didn't get rained out or canceled, in some of them in just the bitter cold and rain. And I think he had 3 second place finishes in those, which is very, very cool. So watch out for Andrew O'Neill. He's going to be starting up some more 18 hole tournaments in IJGA, and we know he's going to keep going. And you know, sitting down with him last night, he goes, "I want to break 80. You know, break 80. He's like, he got a taste from that 80, and which was very cool. And no doubt, if he puts in the same work and passion that he has in his practice, you know, he'll be well on his way. So good job, Andrew.
Jessica Valent received this Most Improved Award. And Jessica came to us a couple of years ago, maybe as a seventh grader, was in our high school prep class. I think immediately you kind of recognize there's something unique about Jessica. Her focus is extremely high for a young person. And as we got to know her, to get a sense of the level of detail that she's paying attention to as she's practicing, it's extraordinary. I admire it, actually. So Jessica, going into sitting down this time last year, knew she was going to be going to Stevenson. I let her know how strong that team was. They've got one of the strongest teams in the state, did really well at the state tournament. I told Jessica that I thought she had a chance of making the varsity team as a freshman. And she looked at me like I was crazy, because her tournament scores last year were, you know, 110, 115. but I just knew that she was so mature for her age, and I knew that she loves the game and would put the time in. And Jessica had a 20 to 25 stroke improvement this year. Just incredible. You know, went from high 90s at the beginning of the season and then was down around 80. And so she did a great tryout. She actually did make the varsity team as a freshman, and was playing at the beginning of the season in some events. It's just fantastic just to see that. And I think as coaches, we recognize that from the outside of what the potential is of these students, and I think they're really surprised when you tell them what you think they can do, and then to see them go out and do it, you know, makes us as coaches feel great, because we knew they could do it. We know how much pride they take from it. So Jessica was very proud of her season, and I know she's already thinking about, you know, what the plan is for next season already.
Yeah. Man, I mean, both of those people, now that I think, you know, when I think about it, and you know, when you look back and you think about how they appeared to you, you know, last season or the season before, you know, and that that Andrew, you know, I remember I've been watching Andrew work with you for a long time, and you know, the first time I ever saw him, you know, I never would have predicted that he would be where he is right now. You know, he had his club face wide open. He raised it up and just thrashed at it, and half the time it didn't go anywhere. And I, you know, it's so much fun this year to see him, and to see how to see what's going on behind those eyes, you know, that a lot of times you just, you know, with young people, you know, you have no idea. And to see how thoughtful he is and how creative he is and the way he sets up and practices, you know, it's just been a revelation. And Jessica, you know, that's absolutely incredible.
I'll share a quick story about Andrew. He'll probably hate me sharing this, but there was one time I worked with his brother Will too, and I just finished up a lesson with Will, and it was Andrew's turn to go, and I walk out into the cube and on the Augusta Green, Andrew is like up against the wall with like 1 foot elevated on a hill, and he's like trying to balance a ball on the edge before it like goes into the gutter, and he's like looking across the green, and I'm like, I kind of caught him like, you know, off guard, and I'm like, Andrew, what are you doing? And he goes, well, I'm putting through my course. And I'm like, and then I look around on the ground, and there's no tape on the ground, there's no cones, there's no circles. I'm like, Andrew, there's nothing set up. Like, what course are you playing? And he goes, and he points to his head, he goes, oh, it's up here. And I said, well, can we play it? And he goes, sure. And it was a 5-hole course, and it was the most fun I've ever had playing. There was one hole where you didn't actually hit the ball. You had to like lift it and pick it up because there was lava everywhere. And it was just like, it was phenomenal. So it's like that. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you're like, that's why Andrew is improving at the rate he is, because he is a step ahead of everybody else with that creativity.
Sounds like a good businessman too, you know, lava golf.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm saying. So yeah, maybe he'll be a employee soon.
And this is a tough category too. It's like one of those years at the Oscars where there's like 20 good movies that came out, because we had like Kieran Mavros, who shot 77 at conference, or he'd never broken 90 before. Well, I mean, still don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you only can hit at 160. Doesn't make sense in my brain.
Yeah, honestly. Well, he's a high wire walker. You know, how does somebody, you know, not be afraid, you know, being way up there? But Kieran is, he's just not afraid. The possibility, if the possibility exists, that's what he sees, you know. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, and it was cool that he's kind of only been in our summer stuff, and he just played Canal Shores 9 or 18 holes every single day all summer. Didn't really get much time at the range, didn't get much like technical swing work, and just got really good at golf. So it's cool to see kind of the different approach, you know, other people. I mean, like Andrew being at Deerfield got his success kind of a different way.
Totally.
And it's pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
Were there any other honorable mentions for that, the most improved?
Well,
Martha Kuwahara.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Martha Kuwahara had a fantastic year, and you know, I mean, it was really hard to make this decision for our staff, but she was certainly up there.
Yeah. Did we say Kaylin?
Yeah, Kaylin was...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kaylin was an honorable mention.
Matt Burke.
And Matt Burke was as well. You know, two guys that, you know, Matt Burke just made his... I'll let you speak about him, Andy, but he just made his high school team, which is just phenomenal to see him rise through the ranks of our classes. And
And literally rising, he's grown a lot. I measured him in my lesson on Sunday's 5 inches too tall for his clubs. I don't know how that happened.
He has the 60-inch?
60.
The 60-inch U.S. kids clubs, and he's past the 63 mark.
It was bad coaching on my part, because he's like, my clubs, he's topping the ball. He's like, my clubs are too short. And I said, they're like, just swing it. You can hit the shot. He's like, no, too short. And then finally we measured him, and he's way too tall for the clubs. So that was a funny moment. But, okay. Maybe we'll get to the final category of the players of the year. Chris, these are two people pretty special to you, I'd say.
Drum roll. Yeah. These two people, I spent a lot of time with. They're probably get more phone time than my mom and sister combined. Danny Fisher won the male MVP for the golf practice for this year. Danny's at Miami of Ohio. Just finished his fall season there. You know, Danny had a fantastic year. He already knew that he had, you know, a college spot already figured out. And, you know, it's interesting when we have kids who are at that point that, you know, they still kind of keep working hard on their game when they know they have a spot waiting for them at a school, or they kind of take their foot off the pedal. And we've seen both. And Danny really went, really decided that, you know, he wanted to get some playing time as a freshman. And so he stayed competitive. He stayed working on his game. You know, went through a little bit of a slump in the season, which came from a little bit of anxiety of going to school, knowing school was there, and he wanted to prove to the coach that he had made a good decision. Danny was the only recruit for his class, and so it was interesting to work through that with him. But had a great year. You know, was the two round leader, round one and round two leader at the Illinois State Junior AM. Qualified for the Illinois Open, qualified for the Western Junior out at Rich Harvest, one of the oldest junior championships in the country. Won the Chick Evans, you know, basically said he was going to win it and won it. Was the number one seed after stroke play. I think he played the entire week at like 18 under par. Just fantastic play there. And has played a number of events at Miami. I think he qualified for every event there. So they just finished a three-day tournament in Bermuda. So we saw some pictures of him in shorts and the wind blowing.
In a golf cart. What is it? Like resort? Is D1 resort golf?
Yeah, yeah. I maybe guess. That's a it's different type easy. Of tournament.
No, he was with someone on another team in that picture.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, SMU player. Oh. So... yeah, Danny's, you know, he's always worked hard. He's been very close to all the coaches here, and certainly deserving of this award. The female player of the year was Lexi Shulman. Lexi being a freshman at Vernon Hills, having a great year last year, but moving up an age division, playing with some older girls, kind of didn't quite know what to expect. But Lexi didn't disappoint. I mean, she continues to keep pushing herself and taking her game further and further. And she started the season, you know, with a W at Peggy Kirk Bell Tournament in North Carolina, going under par, three under par, I think, the first round, winning that tournament, and then going to a AJGA preseason event in Texas, again going in with no expectations and winning the tournament. So it's a great start to her season. Some of her highlights: she had four rounds under par. She was a couple strokes away from the USGA Junior Girls Amateur qualifying for that. I think the highlight for her season was the Chick Evans. 71 girls played in that event. She was, I think, after a 76-76 in the stroke play, I think she was seeded fifth, and she headed into the match play and really had some really, you know, great matches that she ended up coming out on top on all of them, and taking down three girls who were incoming freshmen into college. And so it was a really special moment for me as a coach to, you know, Danny was playing in the semifinal match and Lexi was ahead of him in the final match. At Itasca Country Club, and watching both of our players, you know, do what they can do, and to see them both be victorious was a great, great highlight for me as a coach, and to see that. So, Danny and Lexi both deserving.
Oh my! I mean, you know, the things that Danny has created in himself, you know, he'll have for the rest of his life as a result of is what he put into and what you provided the opportunity for in the M360 program. I mean, he made the most out of it. And you could see that, you know, he doesn't need a vacation, because I think what he created for himself was a place of comfort. You know, where he's comfortable in his own skin, and he doesn't necessarily need to prove anything to himself every day. You know, some people are so insecure about their golf that when they have a bad practice session, you know, they're despondent, because, you know, have they lost it? You know, that's one of the problems that golfers have. But Danny you know, just has great habits. And, you know, as Aristotle said, that's who we are. We are our habits. And he's deliberately created some very good ones. And we see the same thing with Lexi. You know, the way that she, her body language on the golf course, when I watched her through sectionals and through the finals where she played, you know, slept on the lead and then played in the final group, her body language was always comfortable and focused. It was, you know, never, and she was in some tough spots. I mean, she got it up and down from, you know, from very difficult places in that the last round at the state finals, and she just did. She has a lot of courage, and to have that kind of courage, it's not just ignorance. You know, she knows what it is to have doubt, and you know, I think that's when you start really playing the game. You know, once you've had doubt, and once you've had to fight your way back and find it again. Now you're playing, and she just, both of those people are, you know, very, very, when I look at them, I admire the heck out of them.
Yeah, I agree.
It's been cool hearing kind of all these stories and seeing all the, you know, the names. We have the leaderboard right in front of us, the names on the list of, I mean, Danny, Lexi, Andrew, Jess, Drew, Sam, Emmy, Kieran, I mean, those are people who are like come from so many different places, who are like completely, you know, different people who value different things and who are good at different things. And it's so cool that they can kind of all have a place here and be recognized here. And I think it speaks to kind of the culture of the golf practice that you guys are like very diligent about instilling, you know, amongst the staff and amongst all our programs and stuff. So it's pretty special to see.
It's very much fun. I look at some of those other names up there, Liam Kelly, Daniel Levinson, you know, Jack Jensen. You know, these guys, we could speak about all of them.
Sure.
You know, they're terrific people, and they're the kind of people that you can see are going to be, well, if not award winners, they're going to be the kind of people that we've just been talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, thanks a lot. It's a pleasure as always, and we'll talk to you all next time.
Great, thanks, Ian.
Contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment, and when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Well, here it comes.